Susie, tell me about this concept of yours of passing it on. How did you come to do that?
Well, basically it all started when I was sort of given one myself. In fact, I was taking my Lonely Planet guides around. I was traveling New Zealand, Australia, Southeast Asia for a gap year. And this girl who I'd met in New Zealand, she was looking to get rid of one of her books. It was just a fiction book. And she was like, I just want to get some weight off my shoulders, quite literally. So I said, I'd love to take this book off your hands. It's just a bit of fun at the time. And in hindsight, I wish I'd asked her a bit more about like what her thoughts on the book had been and where she'd taken it. So it got me thinking about when I was then leaving New Zealand about 3 months later. And I was really, really attached to my Lonely Planet guide because it got me through a lot of difficult like decisions. And I wasn't quite ready to leave the country either. I felt really sad to be going. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to write a really cute little message wishing whoever picks up this book in, I think it was just in a hostel book share shelf thing. And wishing them a good trip and saying, this is me. This is what I want to give to the next person who reads this. And I then just kept doing it with all my Lonely Planet guides. And then, yeah, that's how I sort of started doing that.
So how many do you think you've given away?
I had about four on that trip. And then I think I've given away maybe one or two since then. But it sort of comes and goes, I suppose, in spells of when I've got trips and books to give away.
Yeah.
I always take a book on a trip, as I think many people do. But sometimes you don't want to part with it. Sometimes you think, oh, no, this book has served its purpose for me.
Yeah. Well, I guess the question is, am I coming back here again? Might I need it again?
Yeah, and funnily enough, that's true. I mean, I have actually been back to New Zealand twice since then because my partner's from there. So I think had I maybe held on to that book, I would have probably used it again.
Yeah.
But I really don't mind because especially guidebooks, they're the kind of thing that we've got the internet nowadays. There's nothing you can't find in the guidebook that you can't find online. But it's that physical book that got you through all those trips or had the little map inside or just had those tips that just changed that trip for you.
Yeah, I think sometimes looking at, Google Maps, I guess it is mostly these days on your phone, it's a bit like looking through a keyhole. You can only sort of see so much and you wish you had something A4 or even A3 that you could spread out on the table and run your finger along it. And you know what I mean? There's a bit of a difference, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I remember very fondly using that particular guidebook in a very rainy Sunday afternoon with my travel partner, and we were planning out the next few weeks of our trip, and it was going to be a road trip, so obviously maps were very, very important, and we didn't have internet. We were too spongy to actually pay for Wi-Fi, so we were just using the book.
Yeah,
but it was great. It was one of my favourite memories.
Yeah, I think it's great. So do you tend to travel alone, or do you travel with your partner, or do you travel with other besties? How do you get around?
I used to travel alone, and then I travelled with friends, and now I mostly travel with my partner because he's from a different place than me, so we like to show each other of our parts of the world,
right.
But also with friends on occasion too.
Yeah. And what's your favourite place you've been to, Susie?
I actually just got back from Marrakesh. So Morocco is very much nearing the top three, I think, at the moment, because it's very fresh in my mind and I'm still reeling from such a lovely experience. But New Zealand's always going to be my firm favourite.
Right.
Heading back to Australia on my move. I'm going to be moving out there later this year. So come join you guys.
Are you going to come and live over here, are you?
Yeah, I am. I'm very fortunate enough to be relocating. So a bit more of that Australia.
So we won't accuse you of deserting the ship just yet.
No, not just yet.
So have you in using your travel guide? I know they weigh a bit, and I can understand why people would like to perhaps offload something they may not be able to use in the next destination. But did you travel very light? Were you sort of interested in backpacking as light as you could, or how did you tend to travel?
That's a really good question, actually. I was, obviously everyone hopes to travel as light as possible, I think. I was backpacking to various different destinations, so weight was definitely an issue for me, and I very quickly realised I'd probably overpacked. Guidebooks were really, at first I was like, oh, they'll just stay in the bottom of my bag, it's fine. But the more I was lifting my bag up and down, I realised I didn't want to keep them really for the whole trip. Because it was a long trip. It was about 6 months in total. So once they'd served their purpose, I sort of went to an attitude of things need to actually be useful for me. So I think I ditched a few. I think I gave a bunch of clothes to a charity shop because I'd gone from winter to summer and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that would be a bit of a challenge, having to accommodate the extremes of heat and cold. Now, so did you travel with the destination in mind, or did you sort of go to the first place and then take the serendipitous route and see where you ended up?
I had a route in mind. I was very flexible to change. I was happy to extend or delay or shorten, even if need be, destinations. But I'm a keen traveler, trying to do a country in its entirety if possible. So I was really trying to really spend a lot of time in each destination. So it gave me a lot of time to think if I liked a place or not. So it kind of left me actually delaying things rather than shortening things.
And was the continent your first destination?
Generally in my travels in life. Yeah,
that's the easiest one from the UK.
Yeah, actually, funnily enough, I'd gone on family holidays to Spanish islands as a kid, but actually one of my first major trips was actually to Uganda, because where my grandparents used to live there. So that was probably my first travelling experience.
Interesting one.
Just 10 years old, so...
That's fascinating. So do you fly or do you train it? How do you... Obviously, you have to fly down here, but...
I love training around Europe. I did a good interrailing trip, which is probably the most affordable and best way to see Europe, in my opinion.
Is that when you sleep overnight on the train?
It can be both. Yeah, we did take a couple of overnight trains, but you can also just take the everyday...
The daylight express.
Transport. So I think we took like the express train between Paris and Amsterdam, but also then the slow trains around Germany a bit and over to Poland. You can pretty much get most transport trains with that pass.
I do envy you living over there with the proximity of all of the countries of Eastern and Western Europe. Well, the Mediterranean isn't that far away, and I suppose if you want to go down to the Middle East, you can.
Yeah.
Have you thought about writing your own guidebook?
Oh, actually, I'm not sure. I think I'd need to know a place very, very, very well. Like, I'd want to feel almost like a local before I would consider that. I think that would be a perspective even when I write blog posts now, I feel tentative to publish without doing thorough research and making sure all my facts are completely correct, because places change.
Yeah. What do you do during the day, Susie?
I work in digital marketing, so not too far removed from a sort of blogging life.
Yeah. So how many trips a year do you take? You got to try to fit them into your holiday schedule, do you? Your work schedule?
Yeah, so due to the nature of working an online job, I'm quite lucky in that I can spend a bit of time working remotely, which is what I'm actually going to be doing with my relocation. I'm going to be keeping my job and working remotely. So I can normally extend my trips by saying, I want to work a little bit longer. I'll work a couple of weeks there and then take a couple of weeks holiday. So generally two bigger holidays a year and then maybe a couple of longer weekend trips here and there. So maybe four in total a year.
That's great. Might be a bit harder to do from down here, a bit further to swim.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm cramming in as many as I can before I move.
Yeah, but I guess you'll go across the ditch to New Zealand, yeah?
I reckon so, yeah. And I've already got friends who are very keen to come visit and maybe meet in the middle somewhere in Asia or wherever is convenient. So, I'm sure it'll still happen.
Yeah, look, there's plenty to see here that, you know, those of us who live here still haven't seen all of the continent that we occupy a very tiny coastal fringe of. Susie, anybody who's picked up one of your books got back in touch with you? Do you leave an email address or something in the book?
Well, that's actually what I started then adding a hashtag most recently this year, because I posted on Twitter just very, very random, spontaneously, that this is what I like to do. And loads of people got in touch saying, oh, I like to do that too. Oh, that's such a good idea. And then I was approached by my friend Elle, who is also a blogger of Elle Gone Global.
I think I've seen Elle's blog,
Yeah, she's so lovely. And she said, oh, you should make this a thing. Like, let's try and make a hashtag or something.
Yeah.
And there bore the idea of our little hashtag travel book share, where we were trying to get people to, if they do it, start hashtagging it. I personally haven't had any books come back to me, but then again, I've left them rather far away from places I haven't yet returned to. So maybe their reach is a little bit nearer than I'd like at the moment.
Well, but you don't need them back. You really, I guess it'd be great to hear from somebody as to how they experienced the country and how different it was to you. And I can imagine you could develop this into a bit of an online chat scenario.
I know. I think I'd like it to sort of turn into a pen pal type situation potentially. Like, the travel community is such a strong one and such a supportive one. So it'd be really nice to connect people around the world through something as tangible as a book.
Well, Susie, it's been lovely talking to you, and I love the idea that you've picked up on. Even maybe it was slightly accidental, but some of the best things happen in that way. And true. I wish you well on your travels, and hope you stay safe and enjoy your life when you come to the Antipodes.
Oh, thank you so much. I certainly will do, I'm sure.
Great to speak with you on Travel Writers Radio.
Thanks.